Well, we're continuing on this journey, renewal in mercy, as we head into our destination, which is Resurrection Sunday. But we must go through Friday. We continue this morning with a sermon entitled Road to Redemption. Now, before we reach the shortest verse in the scripture, and Becca, you are right that this was a long read, but the whole story is much longer. But before we get to that shortest scripture, before we hear the holy weight of Jesus wept, we must walk with him into the scene that breaks his heart. Jesus is approaching Bethany. He's been delayed, not by accident, but by divine timing. And now he is met by grief. Martha runs to him first. Her grief is raw, her disappointment honest. Lord, if you had been here. She believes in the resurrection someday, but she can't imagine it being today. She trusts Jesus, but she is hurting, and she loves him, but she is confused. And then Mary runs, then comes. She doesn't run. She weeps. She falls at his feet with the same words, the same ache, and the same longing. Scripture says Jesus is deeply moved in the spirit, is troubled. The Greek suggests a moaning, a churning, a holy disturbance in his soul. This is not political, polite sadness. This is not distant sympathy. This is grief of God. Then they say to him, come see. Come and see the place where death has claimed a friend. Come see the grief of a family. Come see the sorrow of a community. Come see the world as it is, broken, hurting, longing for life. And Jesus walks with him. He walks toward the tomb. He walks toward the pain. He walks toward the place where hope seems impossible. Standing there, face to face with death, surrounded by weeping, carrying the weight of divine purpose, and Jesus breaks. Word tells us that Jesus wept. Not because he lacked faith. Not because he doubted resurrection, not because he was powerless. He wept because the work is heavy. He wept because carrying the hope for a hopeless world is costly. He wept because he feels the weight of the expectation, the sting of misunderstandings, the ache of human suffering, the burden of divine mission. He wept because love fails. And church, this is where the redemption road begins. It begins not in triumph, not in glory, and not in victory. It begins with tears, holy tears, honest tears, tears that tell the truth about a world and the God who loves it. Jesus wept not just for Lazarus, but for all of us, for every tomb we ever wrestled into. We settled into, for every grief we carry, for every injustice we endure, for every prayer we whispered in the darkness. He weeps for a mother burying her child. He weeps for the addict who wants to be free. He weeps for the refugee with no home. He weeps for a stranger who feels invisible. He weeps for a church that has forgotten how to love. He weeps for a world that has forgotten how to hope. And in his weeping, he shows us the heart of God. Not distant, not detached, not indifferent, but present, moved, and engaged. A church, this is good news, because if God weeps, then God sees. If God weeps, then God cares. If God weeps, then God is near. And if God is near, then resurrection is not far behind. Not far behind. But before Jesus speaks resurrection, before he calls Nazareth by name, before the miracle breaks open the air and he gives the command that sounds most unreasonable, he gives this command that sounds almost unreasonable. Take away the stone. He tells them to take away the stone. It's such a simple sentence, but it's a sentence that confronts us. It's a sentence that exposes us. It's a sentence that invites us into the work of God. Jesus does not roll the stone away himself. He could. He's a water walker. He commands the winds and the waves. He could have whispered and the stone would have moved. He who conquered death could snap his fingers and the tomb would open. But he doesn't. He turns to the community. He turns to the mourners, to the disciples, to the skeptic, to the weary, to the hopeful. He says, "You do it." Because resurrection is God's work. But removing barriers is ours. This is a call to all who journey with him. Take away a stone. Stones are barriers between life, between death and life, between despair and hope, between isolation and community. Stones are the things we have grown accustomed to, things we have normalized, the things we have learned to walk around instead of confront. And so Jesus asks, not gently, he doesn't suggest, but he commandedly, what stone blocks the way for you today? There's stones of fear, fear of the future, fear of change, fear of losing control, fear of stepping into the unknown. The fear of God might ask more of us than we want to give. There's the stones of cynicism, the quiet voice that says, nothing will ever change. That's just the way things are. We tried that before. Cynicism is a stone that keeps hope buried. There's the stone of grief. Losses we have named, we haven't named. The pain we haven't processed. The sorrow we carry so long, it feels like a part of our identity. There's stones of addiction, not just substances, but approval, success, busyness, image, control, anything we cling to more tightly than we cling to God. There's stones of broken relationships, unforgiveness, pride, silence, distance, wounds we refuse to revisit. Even though healing waits on the other side. There's the stones of economic hardship, the crushing weight of bills, debt, inflation, job security, the feel of not having enough, the shame of struggling in a world that worships success. There's the stones of injustice, systems that bury people alive, policies that choke off dignity, structures that keep some in the light and others in the shadows. There's a stone of apathy, the temptation to look away, to numb out, to say someone else will handle it. There's the stones of traditions that no longer are life-giving. Practices we protect because they're familiar, even though they no longer lead us to God. Stones of narrow vision and self-centered living. The belief that faith is only about my salvation. It's about my comfort, my blessing, instead of God's mission in the world. Jesus is saying, if you want to see resurrection, you must first move what stands in the way. We can't raise the dead. We can't raise the dead, but we can move a stone. We can't create life, but we can remove what blocks it. We can't save the world, but we can clear a path for the one who can. And church, this is where Redemption Road gets real, because resurrection is not magic. It's not passive. It's not something we watch from a distance. Resurrection requires our participation. Resurrection requires courage. Resurrection requires obedience. Jesus says, take away the stone, not because he needs our help, but because he wants our hearts. He wants us to be the kind of people who refuses to let death have the last word. Who refuses to let despair seal the tomb, refuses to let hopelessness stay unchallenged. We need this today. He wants us to be stone movers, barrier breakers, path clearers, people who make room for the resurrection. Because the miracle is coming, but the stone must first be moved. And then in verse 33, before the crowd can catch their breath, before the tears of Jesus' face even dry, before anyone can fully process what is happening, Jesus steps to the tomb and does what only Jesus can do. He speaks. He speaks into the darkness. He speaks into the silence. He speaks into the place that smells like death. He speaks into a place where anyone else is already given up on. And with a loud voice, scripture says he uses a magnophone voice. He cries out, Lazarus, come out. Not a whisper, not a suggestion. Not offered as a gentle invitation, but proclaims authority, declared with power, announced with resurrection force. Because when Jesus speaks, death has to listen. When Jesus speaks, despair has to loosen its grip. When Jesus speaks, shame has to step aside. When Jesus speaks, the grave has to give back what it tried to keep. Notice. He calls Lazarus by his name. You see, resurrection is always personal. This is not a generic miracle. This is not a mass resurrection event. This is not a vague spiritual metaphor. Jesus is calling one person, one story, one life, one beloved child out of the tomb. And church, that's how he calls us to. He calls us out of the tomb of despair, where we're convinced our lives, nothing will ever change. He calls us out of the tomb of shame, where we hide the parts of ourselves we think God can't love. He calls us out of tomb of exhaustion, where we think we're running on empty so long we have forgotten what rest feels like. He calls us out of the tomb of hopelessness, where the news cycles, the violence, the division, the uncertainty have buried our joy. He calls us out of the tomb of sin, patterns that keep us stuck, habits that keep us bound, choices that keep us small. Tombs of small living, where we settle for survival instead of stepping into our purpose. And there's the truth. Some of us have been in our tombs so long, we have made them comfortable. We have decorated them. We have normalized them. We have convinced ourselves this is just how life is. But Jesus stands at the entrance of the tomb. He lives and calls us forward. Come out. Come out from what has held you. Come out from what has defined you. Come out for what has limited you. Come out of what has buried you. Come out what has convinced you that resurrection is for other people and not for you. Church, this is the moment. This moment is not just about Lazarus. It is about us. It is about the world. It is about the redemption road. Because the raising of Lazarus is a turning point. It is a miracle that sets the cross in motion. It is a sign that reveals Jesus' power and seals his fate. This is the moment where the religious leaders say, oh, we can't keep him. He can't keep doing this. This is the moment when they began to plot his death. This is the moment resurrection becomes dangerous. Jesus gives life to Lazarus knowing it will cost him his own. This road of redemption, this journey of grace, this is gospel in motion. And here's the mystery of faith. Jesus calls Lazarus out of a tomb. In doing so, he walks into his own. He calls Lazarus into life and he walks toward his own death. He frees Lazarus from the grave and he steps into the road that will lead him to Calvary. Because resurrection is never cheap. Resurrection is never painless. Grace is never passive. And yet Jesus chose it for Lazarus. He chose it for Mary and Martha, for the crowd, for the world, for us. He chooses the redemption road, and he calls us to walk it with him. But we're not finished. Verse 44, Lazarus emerges alive, but still bound. Breathing, but still wrapped. Raised, but still restricted. He stands, he is standing, and he's not free. He's living, but he's not liberated. He is resurrected, but he's not released. Jesus gives another command, a command not to Lazarus, not to death, not to the grave, but to the community standing around him. Unbind him, let him go. Church, this is one of the most overlooked miracles in scripture, because resurrection is God's work, but liberation is shared work. Let me say that again. Resurrection is God's work, but liberation is shared work. Jesus raises Lazarus, but the community must unbind him. Jesus calls him out, but the people must help him walk forward. Jesus gives him life, but the community must help him live it. This is gospel in motion. This is the church in action. This is the redemption road, because resurrection is not complete until the community participates. Lazarus is wrapped in grave clothes, cloth around his face, cloth around his hands, and cloth around his feet. He cannot free himself. He can't unwrap himself. He can't step into the new life alone, and neither can we. Some of us have been raised, but we're still bound. Bound by shame and bound by fear. Bound by trauma, bound by what people say about us. Bound by what we say about ourselves. Bound by a system that never designated for us to flourish. Bound by memories that still sting. Bound by habits that we still cling. And Jesus said to the community, unbind them. Help heal them. Help them grow. Help with them breathing again. Help them walk again. Help them to believe again. Because resurrection is not a solo act, it's a communal calling. What does unbinding look like? Supporting those in recovery. Not judging their struggle, but walking with them through it. Walking with those in grief, not rushing to move on, but sitting with them in the valley. Advocating for the marginalized, not offering pity, but demanding justice. Reconciling families, not pretending that hurt didn't happen, but choosing forgiveness and repair. Challenging unjust systems, not accepting that's just the way it is, but imagining what it could be. Building communities of belonging, not creating cliques, but creating connections. Offering forgiveness, not because it's easy, but because it's freeing. Speaking truth in love, not avoiding hard conversations, but approaching them with grace. Creating spaces where people can breathe again, not suffocating with expectations, but nurturing them with compassion. This is the work of the church. This is the ministry of unbinding. This is the calling for every believer. Paul helps us understand this work. He says the flesh is the stone. Not our bodies, but are appetite-driven, fear-driven, ego-driven. The flesh is the part of us that cling to the tomb. The spirit is the part of us that steps into the light. Christ calls from the tomb of self-centeredness into the light of the spirit, redeems us, unites us, and builds us up. We are called to be life givers, unbinders, stone movers, hope bearers. We are called to be the evidence that the resurrection is real. We are called to be the sign that God is still working. We are called to be the community that helps people walk into the life Christ has already given for them. Because resurrection is not just an event. It's a process. It's a journey. It's a community project. Jesus invites us, commands us to participate. Unbind him and let him go. This is the work that belongs to all of us. Let me close. We've been here for a while, but let me close. Jesus wept because the work is heavy. Jesus called because the work, the world needs life. Jesus raised because death does not get the last word. Jesus sends us because resurrection is not a moment, it's a mission. This is the rising cadence of the gospel. This is the heartbeat of Redemption Road. This is the rhythm of the Savior who refuses to leave us in a tomb. Church, you hear me. This story is not just about Nazareth. It is about every one of us who has ever stood on the edge of a tomb wondering if life would ever come again. It is about every parent praying for a child, every elder praying for strength, every young adult praying for direction, every community praying for healing, every nation praying for peace, every soul praying for hope. Because the God who weeps with us is the God who walks with us. The God who walks with us is the God who calls us. The God who calls us is the God who raises us. The God who raises us is the God who sends us into a world as children of the light. So hear the call of the gospel. Take away the stone. Move any blocks. Move what blocks blessings. Clear what hinders healing. Dismantle what buries living. Call forth life. Speak resurrection in places that smell like death. Speak hope where despair has settled. Speak courage where fear has taken root. Unbind the bound. Help the hurting. Lift the fallen. Walk with the weary. Stand with the oppressed. Love the forgotten. Free the captive. Walk the redemption road, not an easy road, not a popular road, not a comfortable road, but the Jesus road, the cross-shaped road, the resurrection-marked road, the spirit-led road. Carry hope into hopeless places because hope is not naive, it's prophetic. Hope is not passive, hope is powerful. Hope is not denial, but hope is defiance. Shed light in the shadowed corners because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. Darkness cannot overcome the light. Darkness cannot silence the light. Be the sign that God is still moving. Be the witness that grace is still working. Be the evidence that resurrection is still happening. Be the people who journey in mercy, walk in courage, and live in the resurrection hope. Because the same Jesus who stood with Nazareth's tomb stands at ours. The same Jesus who called Nazareth by name calls us by name. The same Jesus who raised Nazareth from the death raises us from everything that tries to bury us. And that same Jesus who walked the road of redemption still walks it still, ahead of us, beside us, with us, and through us. So rise, church, rise in mercy, rise in courage, rise in hope, rise in resurrection power. For the road to redemption is open. The stone is rolled away. The Savior is calling, And new life, and life, new life, God's life is waiting for each one of us. And so let God's people say, amen.